think, with enough frequency to allow for the vendor to make a living. So most of our vendors who operate these facilities are out of work at the moment. We are hopeful that building populations will start to increase as we get into the new calendar year, and that many of our entrepreneurs that are flying will be able to resume their businesses. But unfortunately, right now COVID has really impacted on them. And our field representatives have been working diligently with each of them to be sure that they are aware of any benefits that they might be available for, either through the Federal Stimulus Act or through state initiatives that would help small businesses. I also want to report that after almost two decades, Coca-Cola is no longer the statewide vendor for the vending machine contract. PepsiCo won the new five-year contract, and the transition of vending machines in public locations from Coca-Cola to Pepsi is underway. And this vending contract provides a significant portion of the funding for the Business Enterprise Program. In our Children's Services Program, the fall in-service series that we provide to school districts has been launched this year as a new virtual training series. This is the first time we have ever done that. And we're very pleased that by going virtual, we're able to now offer it to folks beyond Connecticut. In the past, because it was a location-based training where you had to come to the building, we had to restrict occupancy, obviously, because of how many people you could have in the training room. But now that it's virtual, we've been able to make it far more available. And it's also a self-paced virtual training. So school district staff can participate as they are available to. I also want to indicate that we've had some retirements in Children's Services. Gail Johnson, Jill Baker, Egg Palmer, and Andrea Garuski all have retired, and we have so far filled three of the four positions. We've hired Champagne Marsh Williams, Jessica Gibson, and Jackie DeTore is the three hires. We are hopeful that we will be able to refill Andrea Garuski's position, but given that this is state funded and there's presently a hiring freeze due to the budget situation, we're not certain if that will occur or not. In vocational rehabilitation, we just completed last week, is in recognition of National Mentoring Day, which also occurs in October, a virtual mentoring event where three members of the State Rehabilitation Council who are successfully employed shared their experiences and their paths to successful employment with transition age students. We've hired two replacements as pre-employment transition counselors. Stacy Ann Lewis has replaced Jennifer Eukers, who's left the agency. And Charlotta Copenhaver, who has been a long-standing vocational rehab counselor in our bureau, has moved over to the other pre-employment transition position that was previously held by Mark Ward. We are hopeful that we'll be able to refill the South Central Regional Counselor position that Charlotta had been in for many years. The Vocational Rehabilitation Program received $1.2 million in new funds through the federal reallotment process. With these additional dollars, the Voc Rehab Program projects we will be able to serve all eligible individuals all the way through federal fiscal year 2023, which is certainly wonderful news. And finally, vocational rehabilitation supervisor Mary Burgard is out on extended leave. So anyone who has questions or needs information where they would have in the past gone to Mary, they can come to me directly. And that is my report. And Andrew, I don't know if you have anything you'd like to add on top of that.
Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, you are.
Thank you. Not a great deal. The legislature is, of course, next week, an entire, every member of the legislature is up for election or re-election. Of course, traditionally, many members get re-elected, but there will certainly be new members. There'll be a new Speaker of the House also, and a new Republican leader of the House and a new Republican leader of the Senate, because those three leaders have retired this year. The governor will be the same for the next 2 years, and the governor will introduce a budget in February for the 2 years, the two-year budget starting July 1st, next summer, 2021. And we'll see then, in February, what the budget looks like, whether the governor feels he needs to raise some taxes because of the red ink that we're experiencing. Red ink that's built into the budget over the last few years and then made worse by COVID. Although some new income is coming in from the stock market that's making things a little bit better, but it's still $1 billion or $1.5 billion of red ink. And agencies may get called upon to make cuts, but we don't know yet what those will be. We're going to resubmit the bill that Aging and Disability submitted last year, because just as our bill was starting to move forward, the legislature shut down because of COVID in March. So our bill never got a chance for a vote. It's largely technical. We make some changes to the Assistive Technology Loan Program, the Tech Act program that I imagine many people here might have used for different pieces of equipment. And we are proposing a change to the Deaf and Hard of Hearing Advisory Board. It's not very substantial, but right now the governor is called upon to make all the appointments. And we're saying, well, when it's the executive director of ASD or the head of Connecticut RID or National Association for the Deaf, those people don't need to be appointed by the governor. They have those positions by virtue of their title. It would be simpler to streamline that process. We make a few other changes to the statutes that really are pretty technical. So it's not a blockbuster of a bill, but we'll be submitting it again this year. And of course, we'll be watching any legislation. And I will say also that members of the Deaf and Hard of Hearing Advisory Community Board, the advisory board, are proposing what you might call a person with deafness mental health bill of rights, laying out the proposition that a lot of mental health care isn't being done as well as it could be without people and professionals who themselves know sign, without the availability of interpreters for mental health care and treatment, psychiatric care and treatment. So they're going to be pushing a proposal to, as I say, establish a deaf person's mental health bill of rights. If it requires spending, that may be difficult in a lean budget year, but that's another proposal that's out there. It's not from our agency, but from the deaf community. I don't really have a lot else to report, so I'll leave it at that. Thank you, Madam Chairwoman.
Oh, thank you very much, Andrew. And the next will be a report from the chair. I do want to mention two things. I have come across a wonderful app that has benefited me. It's not quite perfect yet, but it's called Seeing AI. When you first see the app, it's a green tab. It looks like an I and S in the middle of it. It looks like Seeing AI, but it's AI, which stands for Artificial Intelligence. And this app is basically like a scanner where you have several choices at the bottom of the screen. You can choose to read small section of text or a whole letter or whatever is in front of you. You take a picture, it will describe to you what it sees, and several others I don't remember now. But what's great about it, it's there, not quite like I was able to scan UPC code and it'll talk to you. So this is certainly for individuals that can hear the feedback. It does not have captions. Perhaps this is something I can let them know if they can institute it into it. I did take a picture one time waiting in the car, and there was another car in front of me. I took a picture, and what was interesting is this, it said car in front with, what did it say? A rifle on top, which made me laugh because it was a station wagon with a rack on top, but it interpreted it as a gun, gun rack or something of the sort. So it's not quite perfected yet, but it may be useful for those who may need visual assistance in some areas, like small print on a bottle, or like I use it for coupons. Sometimes the print is quite small and not quite legible. So that's something that's out there, and that's again called Seeing AI. You go to your app, you will notice it there. The other thing I want to just tell people to be for future, I have seen something I don't believe that everyone is aware of this. There is a group of doctors, 600 altogether. They're called White Coat Summit. They had a press conference and they did state to be hopeful. As long as we continue with protocols, distancing, the COVID is not on the rise. It is lowering in the death rate, much lower. It is weaker than it has. It is something that people need to be informed of, not to listen to mainstream media. So I am hopeful and optimistic that we will get through it. And if anyone has any questions before we conclude, I know we're way past 12 o'clock. May I have a nominee, a motion?
Move adjournment.
Hello, this is Karen. Are we going to have announcements? I just have one announcement.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, this is Karen from New England Consortium on Deaf Blindness. I just wanted people to be aware that we are planning a Deaf Blind Summit during the month of January. It will start on January 15th. It's a virtual summit that will cover a variety of topics related to deaf blindness. And it will run, I believe, every Friday starting January 15th for 4 weeks from 9 to 3. And I will get more information once we are further along in our planning.
Please, if Larry Vaughn has a question.
Go ahead.
So just to clarify, who is hosting that event? What is the name of the agency again? I just missed it.
And who's running that event? This is Karen Olson. It's the New England Consortium on Deaf Blindness. It's the federal grant that is in New England covering Connecticut, Massachusetts, Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont.
Okay. Karen, this is the chair. Would you be able to email us of all that information?
This is Larry Bond asking another question overlapping yours.
Okay.
He's on screen now.
It's just that I've missed the name again. Is it the Helen Keller Agency, or what are you calling that agency? It's a new agency to me, so I'd be very interested to join. So I'd like some more information about it.
Okay, this is Karen. The name of the grant is the New England Consortium on Deaf Blindness, and we provide training and technical assistance for children and their families who are considered to be deafblind, students being from birth to 21. It's a federal grant that has been around for several decades now.
Are there any other questions?
Is there going to be any flyers or any brochures that will be handed out about this consortium that will be happening in January?
This is Karen Olson. Yes, we are just in the initial beginning stages of planning it. And once that has been planned, I will make sure that everyone gets the information.
Okay,
that
will be absolutely. Are there any other questions? Okay, so we may make a motion to adjourn.
Sandy, a motion with her.
Second.
Lisa, second. Eric seconds also. We have Jesse seconding too.
Okay, great. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Right. Anyone want to continue again? No? All right. We may adjourn. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you all. Bye. 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 Bye.
I guess we still have to talk to the interpreters. So, no, I think we're all set with you, Lisa. I think we're all good, but thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you all.
You want to bye-bye. Lisa wants to say hi.
Oh, I see. All right. Lisa, do you have a question?
Lisa just wants to talk directly to the interpreters.
Sure. Go ahead.
She's just speaking directly to the interpreter. So, thank you so much, Lisa Tingway.
I think she wants some.
She wants me spotlighted.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Is there a question for me? This is Hannah Tyler, the chair.